This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
Monty and I are joined in the studio by Leah Sakala. She is a policy analyst with the Prison Policy Initiative that is based in East Hampton. It is a nonprofit dealing with prison issues, of course. Leah, about a year ago, we talked about prison gerrymandering in Massachusetts, and you had a prediction that, in fact, something was going to be done about prison gerrymandering. Let's start with first, what does prison gerrymandering mean? What is it? And then what is happening in Massachusetts? Let's start with the definition. Prison gerrymandering, not a phrase that we use in everyday language, in everyday talk. What does it mean?
Prison gerrymandering is a term coined by the New York Times that refers to the way that the Census Bureau counts incarcerated people and the implications that that has for redistricting. So basically the problem is that the Census Bureau counts incarcerated people as residents of the communities that contain prisons rather than at their home addresses, communities that they come from and the communities that they will return to. And when state and local governments draw their electoral districts based on unadjusted census data, they end up granting undue political clout to the communities that contain prisons, and every other voter in any other district has their votes diluted.
How does that play out in Massachusetts with the MCI, Cedar Junction and Norfolk and the other large state prisons in the eastern part of the state?
Sure. So on the state level, if you live near a prison, for example, at Norfolk or Walpole, your vote is automatically enhanced, and voters anywhere else have their votes slightly diluted. And this effect is particularly dramatic on the local level. For example, in the city of Gardner, a full 20...
Where there is a state prison.
Exactly. The voters in Gardner who live near the state prison have their votes boosted because a full 25% of that district is actually incarcerated people who are not permitted to vote. So the voters of every other district have their votes slightly diluted.
So we're not talking about the Electoral College here, though. I'm assuming if you're voting for governor of Massachusetts, whether your vote is in Walpole for a Democrat or in, in Foxborough for a Democrat or Northampton for a Democrat, it's all going into the same pool. What does it really matter, or what type of election does it really matter in town by town like that?
Prison gerrymandering really is about state and local elections, where a large prison or a collection of prisons can have a really important effect and dramatic effect on election outcomes.
But for example, like what kind of election has been skewed by these? Is it like register of deeds or is it the governor?
It has effects from the from state level policy to local level policy. For example, in New York, one of the big impediments to reforming Rockefeller drug laws was the fact that all of these senators who had prisons in their districts had a big perverse incentive to hang on to these policies that filled their prisons up and increased the quote unquote number of constituents in their district as a result. And then in local governments, for example, the number of people who are even permitted to vote or even run in some districts is dramatically reduced by counting large prison populations that can't vote.
The irony that strikes me about this is that the Massachusetts law prohibits persons, felons, who are incarcerated from voting. And yet the politicians, the state reps and senators from those districts, which with these prisons, you're saying, as I understand it, basically go out of their way to make sure that they have as many people as possible in the prisons so that their political clout is, well, strengthened. Do I have that basically right? Are you saying that?
It does tend to create perverse incentives. However, many representatives across the country who do represent districts with prison populations have also spoken out against this issue and really recognize that the people who are incarcerated in the prisons in their districts really need to be counted in their home addresses and represented by the communities that they come from.
Okay, what's happening in Massachusetts about that this year?
So in order to provide a national and complete solution to this problem, the Census Bureau needs to change the way it counts incarcerated people and count them at home in 2020. So when the
Now, are we talking about the federal census?
Yes, the federal Bureau of the Census, and they reevaluate their methodology after every census to try and stay on top of demographic and policy needs.
And doesn't the Census Bureau do a series of countings of people in between the every 10-year census? And will that have some effect on this initiative?
They do. Every year they do multiple demographic and economic surveys. But the census that is used for...
Being known as the American Community Survey.
The American Community Survey, exactly. The census that is used for redistricting is the decennial census that happens every 10 years. So we're really looking ahead to 2020 as the next opportunity for the Census Bureau to make this change and make sure that no state or local government will have to deal with prison gerrymandering next redistricting cycle.
What's happening in the Massachusetts legislature about that?
So the Massachusetts redistricting committee noted that this was a significant problem for them when they drew their districts this past time around. So in their wrap-up report, they mentioned that they had struggled with this issue and that it's really time for the Massachusetts legislature to pass a resolution calling on the Census Bureau to update their methodology and count incarcerated people at home in the next census. So in the next legislative session, stay tuned for a resolution calling for this federal policy change.
That's the next Massachusetts legislative session, yes?
Exactly.
And what are you asking local legislators, and statewide, what are you asking the legislators to do? And what does this resolution say?
This resolution will note the problem that this prison gerrymandering causes for state governments and really ask for federal relief. Not only, then this would affect not only Massachusetts, but also all other states and local governments that struggle with this issue. So for people who are interested in getting involved, I would suggest that you stay tuned for this resolution to come out and contact your representatives when it does come out and let them know that this is an issue that, you care about.
If the city of Walpole, Massachusetts, has something on their localized ballot that has to do with local issues specifically to that town, does everybody in Cedar Junction vote on those local issues that pertain specifically to the town of Walpole?
Unfortunately, in Massachusetts, incarcerated individuals in prisons are not allowed
to
vote.
Okay, so it's just the weight of the district. It is not the actual voting. It is not like you're trying to court voters into your prison for any reason so that they'll vote Democrat, right?
Right. No, incarcerated people are not permitted to vote. So you end up with these districts, a large chunk of which cannot even vote for anybody, regardless of be it local politics or politics in their home communities.
But they count as individuals, as part of the population in terms of redistricting, and I assume in terms of other things, including aid and other formulas for allowing money that comes from the state and federal government to go to those communities. So it's in those communities' self-interest, in fact, to count people in prison as if they live there, even though, well, it's a changing population and they're not connected with the community.
The Census Bureau data is used for state and federal funding formulas. However, those formulas tend to be targeted very specifically to meet particular need. So the question of where incarcerated people are counted is really more about political clout than about funding formulas.
Do you know, I know that the Prison Policy Initiative is based in East Hampton, so Leah Sakala is a policy analyst with the Prison Policy Initiative. Can you tell us whether you have been engaged in any kind of politicking or lobbying around this resolution in the Massachusetts legislature, and where our local reps and state senators stand on this issue?
Well, I am very proud to say that I'm represented. I'm represented by State Senator Stan Rosenberg, who was co-chair, actually, of the Massachusetts Special Joint Committee on Redistricting, and has been a great advocate in terms of putting this issue on the state's agenda. And so he has been a great champion of this issue, and also the other co-chair of the Redistricting Committee, Representative Moran from Boston.
I think we'll leave it there. Leah Sakala, policy analyst with the Prison Policy Initiative in East Hampton, thanks so much for being with us. I hope you'll come back and keep us updated on this and other important to us local issues regarding prisons in Massachusetts. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much.
And we'll be right back.